When you write a check to the city of Seattle for a parking ticket or taxes or fees, the city deposits your money into a private bank. But Seattle might be changing that. The city is considering creating a public bank. Advocates say that public banks can save taxpayers money. How so? Well, Gwendolyn Hall-Smith is executive director of the Public Banking Institute, a national nonprofit that advocates for the creation of public banks. And she's all the way here from Vermont to talk to city officials about it. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Maybe first of all, how does a public bank differ from a traditional bank?
Well, a public bank differs from a traditional bank in terms of its mission, its ownership, and where its benefits flow. A traditional bank is owned by shareholders. Its mission is to make a profit for the shareholders, and its benefits flow to the bank's shareholders. A public bank is owned by the public. Its mission is to do things that the public wants to do, like affordable housing, job creation, education, infrastructure development, and the benefits from the lending that it does flow to the public. So, for example, in North Dakota, where you've had a public bank since 1919, that bank has paid a dividend to the general fund of the state of North Dakota of over $300 million in the last 10 years. They've actually debated getting rid of the property tax there, which is a nice debate to be able to have. They didn't decide to do it, but it is a possibility given the revenue stream that the bank provides for the public sector in North Dakota.
You mentioned North Dakota. Are there any other states or cities in the country that have public banks?
Well, there have been in the past, and there probably will be in the future. In Vermont, we're working on a public bank step by step, and we have several state funding agencies that do the lending of a public bank. The Vermont Economic Development Authority, the Vermont Housing Finance Agency, the Vermont Municipal Bond Bank, the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. All of these are public entities that do lending. The difference between them and a bank is that they don't have a banking license, and therefore they don't have the credit creation capacity that a bank has, and they can't use the fractional reserve lending system that banks do. But just recently, the state passed a law directing the treasurer of the state to deposit, essentially, or transfer 10% of her deposits into VITA for in-state lending. So they're learning step by step how to do more public banking in Vermont.
So government agencies can use a public bank to run their money through. Local business owners can also?
Well, the type of public bank we're talking about here and in Vermont is a bank that would be used by the public agencies, by the state of Vermont, by the city of Seattle, not so much by individuals and businesses. The banks don't compete with regular banks. So it's not like you're going to see a public bank on every corner. In fact, in North Dakota, the state bank works in partnership with the state chartered banks to do all their lending. They don't have branches, they don't have ATMs, they don't have checking accounts, really. There are a few people there that might have an account there, but it's really not their business model. Their business model is to work with state chartered banks and credit unions to do the lending that they do.
Now, you've outlined some of the benefits of a public bank. But what would it cost, say, Seattle to set up its own bank?
Well, that depends on the kind of lending institutions you have here already. In Vermont, when we've looked to the Vermont Economic Development Authority to effectively serve that role, it hasn't cost anything because we've just been providing an existing lending authority with additional funds to do the work they already do. In fact, the Vermont Economic Development Authority and the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation both have unrestricted assets on their books that could capitalize a bank. Similarly, here in Seattle, a study that was done recently showed that you have about $1.4 billion in investment funds that the city owns and operates and manages for the benefit of the city. If some of that was used to capitalize a bank, it wouldn't necessarily cost the city a lot of money to set it up. What does cost money, of course, is the compliance with the regulatory aspects and some other things, but you're paying those costs anyway when you're doing your borrowing in the private sector by issuing bonds and borrowing money from the banks through bond issuance for some of the city's purposes.
You know, your explanation makes a lot of sense. Why do you suppose there aren't more public banks?
Well, that's partly because the very biggest banks, the Wall Street banks, are opposed to it, and they fight it quite hard. In Vermont, we've been confronted with the banking lobby now 4 years in a row while we've been in the legislature. Meanwhile, a study we did showed how many jobs the public bank would create and how much it would add to the state product of Vermont. Very significant amount, 2,500 jobs and over $340 million in gross state product. In Vermont, we're a small state. There's only 600,000 people there. You probably have about that many in the Seattle metro area. So that represents 15% of our unemployment rate and a substantial part of our productivity. But even with that data, our legislators have been frightened, frankly, of passing this law that would give Vida a banking license because of the opposition by the banking sector itself.
Now, you're here to encourage this idea in Seattle. How far along is it? Is it a proposal yet for the city council? Where are we?
Well, I don't know whether a formal proposal has been made to the city council yet, although today there are a number of hearings and meetings, including a public meeting tonight at the university where I'll be talking and other people that are guests here, including a man from Germany who talks about the public banking model in Germany, which is actually quite different. Talking to city councilors, to affordable housing advocates, to business people and bankers about what the benefits and what the costs and risks would be.
Gwendolyn Hallsmith, thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, thank you. This has been great.
Gwendolyn is executive director of the Public Banking Institute, a national nonprofit that advocates for the creation of public banks. And if this idea intrigues you, there's going to be a public forum on creating a public bank. It's going to be tonight at the University Temple United Methodist Church. That's the University Temple United Methodist Church. It starts at 7 o'clock. This is The Record on KUOW.